We direct your attention and focus to God this morning as we worship Him. I want you to turn, if you would, grab a songbook, and I promise I'm not going to sing for you. I won't lead us. I'll spare you of that this morning. But I do want to read, just for the sake of our lesson, I want you to turn to Psalm 296. 296. It's a familiar song. It's a short song about worship, because that is our simple topic this morning in the lesson. 296. It's a song that comes from Psalm 122, verse 1. Let us go to the house of the Lord. And we all understand from the Old Testament times how to the psalmist that the temple was that focus of the house of the Lord. We know that today we are the house of the Lord. It's important to remember that this structure isn't the house of the Lord, but the people that dwell in here are the house. We're God's spiritual house, His spiritual building to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And that's what we're doing this morning. And hopefully by the end of this lesson, we'll understand that our focus when we're here really, really, really needs to be upon God and His Son Jesus. And that's not always easy, is it? It's very easy to put our minds elsewhere, other things, problems, whatever it may be, and we lose sight of that. And it's challenging for me too. And that's one of the beauties of the Lord's Supper that I think God instituted, because He knew we needed something tangible to help us with this. We needed something to understand the body. We needed something to understand the blood, not literally, but to hold on to, that we could remember Jesus. So we've come into His house. I want to read this to you. There's just two verses. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord. Verse 2. Let's forget about ourselves, magnify His name, and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. I love that song. It's a familiar song that we sing. And really, I think that sums up why we're here today, as we, as the people of God, have come into His house. We've gathered in the name of Christ Jesus to worship Him, to bring all honor and glory to Him. Now, there are different forms of our worship, isn't there? As we come together, we know that one of the things we do, we've already been led in song. That's one of the ways we worship God. We also understand that when we come into His house, we gather in His name. It's a time of remembering, a time of reflection upon what really is important. Truly, our relationship now with Jesus Christ, that as the Scriptures promise, we are called overcomers. That somehow through Jesus' sacrifice, God was able to set in motion this sacrifice, this truth, that we who receive that blood and we've come to Jesus in obedient faith, we've been baptized into union with Jesus, we're children of Him, we are overcomers. We're not perfect, but we are overcomers of sin and death through the death of Jesus Himself. That our victory is because of Him. That as 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, that faith is the victory. We have faith in that. And that is our victory through Jesus. And that as Scripture also promises, Jesus is coming back to this earth again. Maybe in our time, may not be. We need to be prepared. He's coming back again. And as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3:18, that he is going to bring us back to God. For Christ died for sins once for all, Peter said. It was sufficient. The just for the unjust. Why? Why did he die for the just and the unjust? Peter said, in order that he might bring us to God. He's going to bring us to God. That's the promise. We believe that. We're here to worship him today because of that. And we're also, as we gather today, worshiping Christ the Lord, we are essentially all proclaiming that death until he comes again. We believe it, don't we, church? And we proclaim that. Until he comes. We have gathered in his name to sing, to remember. We've gathered in his name to offer. There's a lot of things we offer. We offer up the sacrifice of praise. As the Hebrew writer will say, it is the fruit of our lips. God is pleased with that offering. We offer up our financial offering, and so that we can continue the work and spread the good news in the kingdom throughout the world and our community. Look at Hebrews real quick, chapter 13 and verse 15. God's pleasing sacrifices. The Hebrew writer says that through him, that is Christ, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That is our offering. And do not neglect in doing good and in sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we offer up, we gather his name to offer up, and we gather in his name to encourage. I know that when we come together, it is an encouraging time. We encourage one another, we encourage our faith, and that's what the Hebrew writer will also say if you back up to chapter 10, that familiar passage where the Hebrew writer says, let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What I understand from that passage is that the idea is that we are thinking about one another. The church, we're considering, we're thinking about the other person and how we can stimulate that person to love God, to serve God, to do good, to offer up the proper sacrifices to God. And we do that when we come together and we encourage one another. He will say, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together as is the habit of some. That will discourage us, won't it? If I decide all of a sudden that I'm just not going to assemble anymore with you, that might discourage a few of you. Or if you stop assembling, that will discourage us. We don't want to discourage. We want to encourage. We encourage each other as we come together. You know, when we come together, there's a lot of reasons we come together, of course. But I was thinking about this week. You know, those of you who work with your hands, we all know how quickly dirt collects on our body. We get dirty pretty quick. We got to clean ourselves up. You know, we got to cleanse ourselves. And I thought, you know what? When it comes to the spiritual side of life, and we can collect dirt pretty quickly. Mentally and emotionally and spiritually, we can collect that dirt throughout the week, can't we? Just think about all the messages again that you receive every week, weekend, day in, day out. We can collect that dirt. And this is our time. Each Lord's Day on Sunday that we come together gathering in his name, and it is kind of like a cleansing, isn't it? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that we clean ourselves up and we get ready for another work week for the Lord. That's why we come together. To clean up our thoughts and our ways and to set our minds again on the ideas and the truths that we need to hear, that we live by. That's why we gather his name. We've come into his house and gathered in his name. And as we gather in his name, we bring an attitude to worship. All of us every week, we bring an attitude. We've got an attitude here this morning that we have brought to worship. And that's what I want to focus the remaining part of this lesson on. What attitude do we bring when we gather in His name to worship Him? And I confess to you that there are times where I have entered into the house of God to worship and my attitude was not right. I would be lying if I told you otherwise. There are times when I have come into this house, when I've gathered in the name to worship our Lord together with my family, with all of you, and I have had a self-centered attitude. I have had an attitude that was consumed with me, with Kurt, with my business, with my life, with my problems, with me. You understand that. We've all been there. We can come into the house of God when we can bring an attitude into worship that is a self-centered attitude. And that takes away from God. The one we really need, of course, we know this to be centered on. I know we can come into God's house and we can have this attitude that what am I going to get today? As the people of God, what's in this for me? What's in this worship for me? What am I going to get out of it? And some of us want to get out of here very, very quickly. That's part of the attitude that we bring into worship. Now, we know we're smart. We understand everybody has moments when we need to get out of here quickly. Even I have to get out of here quickly at times. But if I got out of here quickly, week in and week out, year in, and you're out, what would that say to you? Well, I wouldn't probably have a job, right? What does that say? The attitude that we bring into worship is very important. Now, I know that Paul in Philippians isn't focused on our, as you want to call it, corporate worship where we come together on the first day of the week. But the application is true. That we never have a right to be self-centered Christians. That's the opposite of who Christ was, the very one we imitate and try to live according to His very example. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and following, where Paul says to the Philippians, do nothing from selfishness. That would include our worship, would it not? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself. That's hard for me to do sometimes. To not merely look out for your own personal interest, your interests in your life, but also for the interests of others. See, that's what Paul says, and I think we can apply that also to our worship as we gather in His name to worship Him. We don't want to have a self-centered attitude. I'll also confess to you, there are times I have been here where I have had other-centered attitude. Now, this can be positive, right? If we're here to, one, to encourage each other, that's a good other-centered, right? Like the Hebrew passage said, consider how to stimulate one another. But I want to look at this more of a negative standpoint, where we come into His house and we're focused on other people rather than God. Maybe it's a problem we're having. Have you ever been consumed with a problem with a person? She's bothering me. And so that takes the place of Jesus. That takes the place of God. We're not focused upon what we're supposed to be focused on when we're here. And so it's other-centered attitude that we can bring to the house of God. Sometimes maybe, and I've heard of stories and situations where people look down upon people, we would say, with contempt towards someone else. We look down our noses at this group of people. We can't do that when we enter into God's house into worship. The other-centered attitude God is not pleased with. So I want you to go to Luke 18, familiar parable that Jesus tells. The Pharisee and the publican, right? Are not a parable. This is actually, it was a parable, a physical story with a spiritual meaning. And he was telling this parable because there were those people in his day that trusted in themselves. And so what we would say is they've got an eye problem, right? And they need some spiritual glasses. They've got a me problem. And they were the Pharisees specifically to this story that Jesus tells. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And notice, they viewed other people with contempt. Verse 10 of chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And we understand from the time, tax collectors were not the favorite people of the day. They were despised. The Pharisee stood and was praying. Notice, here's his problem, the eye problem. He was praying this to himself. That's his problem number one. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a swindler. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer, a cheater, or even like this tax collector, because I fast twice a week. I pray tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast, saying, he had a broken heart, contrite heart. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So there we learn the importance of humility and not looking down with contempt upon others. And I think that's important as we think about entering into God's house and worshiping together in the attitude that we bring. That it should not be other-centered in that way, in a negative way. I think we understand that the most valuable attitude, the attitude that God really desires for all of us to enter into His house, to gather His name, to worship Him with, that is pleasing to God, is ultimately a Christ-centered attitude. And I think everything we've done this morning, all the scripture reading, all the conversations, the songs, the prayers, the Lord's Supper, that's what it's centered upon. That's why we're gathered here today. And we need to have that Christ-centered attitude. Remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus has that moment with the woman at the well, and he says, listen, there was a time when you worshiped in Jerusalem, but there's going to be a time when you're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, right? That in the truth of God's word and in our hearts and in our minds. It's not a location, a physical location. We understand throughout John's gospel that Jesus says, listen, Jesus in John 14 will say that he is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In chapter 17, he'll say, sanctify them in truth, that thy word is truth. So we worship according to that truth, to the word of God, according to Christ, with a Christ-centered attitude. Go to Philippians again. We have come into his house. We've gathered in his name to worship him. Not with a self-centered attitude. Not with an other-centered attitude, but hopefully this morning we're here today with a Christ-centered attitude. If you continue on from where we read in chapter 2, we looked at verses 3 and 4, he goes into this mind of Christ, which we're always going to be working on. Nobody has the attitude of Christ to perfection. Verse 5, but Paul says to the Philippians, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So we learn here the perfect example of one who lowered himself, gave us the example, left us the example to follow in his steps. to have the attitude of humility, to have the attitude of submission, to have the attitude of serving, to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. And that's why we're here today. We've gathered in His name to have the attitude of Christ, to worship Christ our Lord. I don't know who wrote this, but I thought it was fitting, and I'm going to close with this morning in the lesson yours. Thou shalt not come to service late, nor for the amen refuse to wait. When the hymns are sounded out, thou shalt lift thy voice and shout. The inmost seat thou shalt leave free, for more must share the pew with thee. The offering plate thou shalt not fear, but give thine uttermost with cheer. Unto thy neighbor thou shalt bend, and if a stranger, make a friend. Thou shalt in every way be compassionate, kind, considerate, and of tender mind. And so by thy Spirit's grace, thou shalt show Christ within this place. Church, when we come together, let's always show Christ. Let's worship Him with the attitude that He left us, the example of, that attitude of humility. You know, when you look at Scriptures, you find by Jesus' example that He's continually calling us by His life. Matter of fact, He said before He went to the cross that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. And you know, the truth is He's still drawing men to Himself today. He's drawing us today. He's drawing you today. He's drawing us to repent and turn from our darkness and to turn to the light, to turn from sin and death, to turn to Christ Jesus, to repent, to change our mind and to change our actions, and ultimately drawing us to Him, to union, to loving union with Him. We understand by Romans 6, 3 and following, when Paul writes that letter to Rome, that we enter into that loving union when we're baptized and united with Him in the likeness of His death. We're united with Christ into that very likeness of His death. And we'll be raised into the likeness of His resurrection as well. We're going to stand, and Don's going to lead us in this song. And if we can encourage you this morning or pray for you in anything this morning, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the invitation song. My hope is built.